broken.
And then it could have been kind of like curtains, huh?
Yeah, expensive for you to fix.
For me to fix, yeah, expensive for me to fix, yeah. So it could have been curtains for me. It could have been curtains. But you know, have you ever had a time when your words kind of got the best of you?
Oh, let me think.
Probably not for
mine,
you.
No, mine flow pretty freely.
Okay.
For the most part, usually. I've had to really, you know, recovery is awesome for helping you, to help you recover from.
Okay. All right. Good. So, but, you know, before pre-recovery, I could have gotten some of those words today, maybe.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, I'm glad you're here now, and I'm glad this didn't happen back when we started in Holiday Inn and you were singing with us back then. So anyway, thanks so much, Lynette, for helping lead our team and the vocals and everything. You know, our tongues can get the best of us sometimes, can't they? Has it ever happened to you? No? Heard somebody said no, you liar. But anyway, he needs to celebrate recovery support group for psychopathic liars. But anyway, look. Our tongues can a lot of times just kind of mess us up completely. I want to give you some shots of some situations where some of you may be able to relate to some of these things, and maybe you've experienced some of these things. This happened in someone's living room, obviously, and yeah. And so I can imagine what might have happened once the paint job had been discovered by Mom and Dad. We've got another one for you. Now, if you've ever done anything like parachuting or anything like that, you need to be careful that you don't do it near lagoons where alligators and crocodiles line the sides there, okay? I can imagine that during this particular time, as our parachutist is kind of getting in there, his words are, I don't really know that I want to know the words that are going through his mind and out of his mouth right now. A couple other things. Have you ever done this when you're a kid, right? And, you know, we bury ourselves in the sand, okay? Now, the problem is we do this oftentimes at low tide. And if we bury our kids with our backs to the surf and we don't realize the tide's coming in, some things can get kind of dangerous here. So I can imagine these little kids and their parents. Now, this one, if you like scenic views from mountain peaks, you probably best not take your dog and the Frisbee with you, all right? It could be kind of, I imagine that once the picture's taken and the family kind of turns around and Fido's gone, they're going to wonder what happens, and I'm wondering what kind of words are going to come through their mouths. Now, if you're an ex-adventure kind of person, right now during the X Games on ESPN, which are going on right now, I would hate to see something like this happen. And for those of you who travel, if you ever have a scene like this and you're in a plane, I would like to have a recommendation for you what to do, but I don't know what you would do. So a lot of prayer, obviously, for that type situation. But you know, how many times has your tongue really gotten the best of you? You know, how often does it happen? Maybe that's a better question. The tongue kind of does some things that you don't really understand why it did what it did. I mean, do you sometimes get the feeling that the tongue kind of has a life of its own, a mind of its own, maybe? There's maybe somewhere in that old thing in there is a brain that is controlled just the tongue, you know? And when you have that, it kind of makes you wonder why you say what you say. And so, you know, I know the feeling. I mean, I talk a lot. I talk a whole lot. And, you know, I say so many things to so many people, I don't remember it. And you know, I could misuse my tongue without knowing. I could actually properly use my tongue sometimes without even realizing it. And you know, it's kind of like it does. It has this mind of its own. And everyone around us is affected, aren't they? Everyone's around us. Well, James wrote about this. Now, James was the kind of guy who, in the New Testament, by the way, he was a brother of Jesus, okay? He was one of those siblings that Jesus had, and he was one of the leaders in the early church. And James was not a real touchy-feely kind of guy. James was the kind of guy that would just tell it like it is and say he wasn't real touchy-feely, okay? He just came out and said what he had to say. He made some very straightforward statements in this five-chapter letter he wrote. He didn't mince words. That's why it came out to only be five chapters. Many people consider James's letter to the church at large to be the Proverbs of the New Testament. A lot of wisdom, a lot of practical advice, a lot of suggestions on how to do this, that, and the other that would help
people to who understood how to live out their lives and how to do it effectively. So I want us to go to James chapter 3 as we kick off this series. And let me tell you about the series real quickly. The series is going to it's going to be about the tongue, but we're going to go this week and we're going to kind of give a general overview and a benign introduction to what the Bible says about the tongue. Just some basic truths about the tongue. And in the next three messages, where we're going to go with that, we're going to go to three major underlying attitudes or conditions in our lives that often are made manifest or often are seen when through things that we say, or maybe things in many cases that we don't say. So if you want to get your Bibles and go to James chapter 3, go ahead and go there. I want to give you a couple of words real quickly, though, just so you know some things that are going to be going on in the next month or so around here. We have, many of you might have noticed, down the sidewalk in the bay that is beside our offices, we have allowed another new church start to use that bay. And the church is New Life Church. You can find out about them if you'd like and go down and meet them. They'll finish up about the same time we will. But anyway, they're going to be in there every Sunday from now on into the foreseeable future. So just know that that's going to be happening. So if you don't mind parking, if you would kind of like, let's fill these spaces. I know it's hard because our lot's very full on Sundays, but kind of fill up to this end first, if you don't mind, for the next few weeks and hopefully months. They're welcome to be there as long as they need to be. And the other thing I want to tell you about, we're going to have a lot of construction work going on beginning in the next week or so that's going to hopefully be done in most of it anyway, a lot of it within by the time February ends or first part of March. But a lot of that, particularly in the conference center and in the end bay down here, which we think we're going to call, because it's the end bay, we're going to call it the eBay. But anyway, we can get a nice logo. I know we can get a good logo for that. But anyway, no, we're actually kind of leaning toward the edge, actually. But anyway, that's going to be the very end bay where our junior hires and our Celebrate Recovery ministry kind of calls home. So the construction will be going on there. Just be aware of that. You might want to wear your hard hats to protect your hard heads, particularly when we begin a roofing project. You'll probably know when that goes on. One part of our roof is going to be redone. So just some things to just kind of let you know. Chuck asked you earlier to fill out your connection cards. Please do that, whether you've been here once or whether you've been here forever. And do that in its entirety. Here's why. Because email addresses constantly change. They need to get email addresses kind of like phone numbers, right? Cell phone numbers, you change a company, but you guys change your email addresses all the time. So please fill that out in its entirety so we can have contact information on you, because that's about the only way that we can do mass communication during the week. James chapter 3, let's go there. It's in the New Testament toward the end, and we find James's letter kind of sandwiched there in between a number of really, really cool passages. We see, he writes, and he writes, and by the way, the book's right after the book of Hebrews, and let's go over to chapter 3. A lot of good stuff here. Guy who really packs a lot of information, a lot of practical stuff in a small space. He starts out this chapter with a weird verse, a verse that seems almost disconnected from the rest of the passage and even from the passage before it. And here he says, "Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church, for we who teach will be judged more strictly." Now, let me say that many people have taken that out of context, people who have gifts and who have the ability, however raw it may be, for them to teach. And they go to this verse and it said, look, it says, not many of us should do this. There's my out. All right? Well, you know what? That's what we do sometimes, don't we? We take a verse in the Bible and we take it totally out of context. We don't think about what it says before. We don't think about what it says afterwards. But he just got through with the passage on your faith. Is demonstrated by what you do, your good deeds, all right? And so then he uses this verse to kind of introduce a passage in which he's going to talk about what we say or what we don't say, the use of the tongue. Now, was he saying, we don't want many people to become teachers because we only need a few teachers in the church? No, not at all. Was he saying, there's a lot of people who don't need to really discover their gifts, and so therefore they don't have to go in and teach? No, not at all. What he was doing was demonstrating the fact that those of us who lead have to keep in mind, just as all of us do, about the tongue. And those who are in positions where they have to use their tongues a lot may be held to a higher standard. Now, I've been around a lot of you, and you use your tongue a lot, all right? I know that. You know that I use my tongue a lot. Some of you, I don't even know if you have a tongue, to be honest with you, all right? You're so quiet sometimes. But, you know, there are those around you who I know do know that. And so today, let's kind of look at a few things. I want to take us through three sections. We're going to look at the relevance of the tongue, we're going to look at the risks of the tongue, and we're going to look at the remedy for the tongue as we kind of begin this series that we're going to go into over the next 3 or 4 weeks. So let's go to the second verse in that passage, James 3, chapter 2. And 3 points about the relevance of the tongue. Here's the first one. The tongue is the least controllable body part that you and I have. It's the least controllable body part. I mean, we just flat out can't control it. You just can't do it. Here, I'll prove it to you. Everybody grab your tongue. Okay? Look to the person next to you, okay? Look to the person next to you and start talking. Start talking. Huh? Start talking. Do it. Come on. Huh? Do it. Are they going to ignore you? Are they ignoring you? Is the person beside you not doing this? Huh? Now, okay, you can take your tongue down. All right, now, what did you notice about that? When you were trying to hold it with your thumb, your fingers, what did you notice? It was still moving, wasn't it? Your tongue was still going because you were trying to what? Converse. You were trying to talk. What else did you notice about it? Fingers got wet. Yeah. I shook somebody's hand. It probably has the flu in their family, and now I got it in my mouth. But anyway. Anyway, pass around some antibacterial soap or something. Somebody get those out and just start passing them. It might be, put it on your tongue, right? Yeah, put it on your tongue. See, what we notice is even as much as we tried to hold our tongue, not only did it continue to move, that no matter how hard you clamp down on it with your fingers, guess what? It's still going to move. It's going to talk. It's going to happen. You know, it's kind of like when we have a little thing with our little girl, our 6-year-old, where we put her in timeout and silence. She's on silence. That is the biggest joke I have ever experienced in my life. Silence for her lasts about 3 seconds, and then it's something else out of her mouth. It's like it just does not work. Well, you know, Katie's like pretty much many of us, all right? We have this thing where we got to be talking. And you know what? The problem is that the tongue, while it is so small, it is the least controllable body part. What does he say? He says this, "We all make many mistakes, but those who control their tongues can also control themselves in every other way." The Bible says if you can hold your tongue, if you can control your tongue, you should have no problem with your eyes wandering to something it shouldn't wander to. Member of the opposite gender, maybe. If you can control your tongue, you should have no problem at all when you're on that computer keeping from going to that website that you really know you shouldn't go to. If you can control your tongue, you know, you can keep from imparting negativity to other people. But you know, here's the problem. The tongue is the least controllable body part. Everything else you can control better, believe it or not, than the tongue. It just will not be stopped. And James wanted us to understand that in his flowery way of speaking. But he gives us a really neat illustrations in the next few verses about the relevance of the tongue. Here's the second thing about the relevance of the tongue. It is a very small body part, but it has very large impact. Small body part, huge impact. Huge impact. Have you noticed that? Look at what he says. It gives us another illustration. And I'm not into horses, okay? I'm not equestrian or anything like that. But I understand what he's saying in this particular...
He's not too busy. He's not that busy. We've interrupted him before.
Yeah, but Bud's busy.
He did get mad about it, though, didn't he?
Yeah, he got mad. Look at him.
Oh.
He's busy right now.
He's turning red. Hey, man.
Hi, Wade.
How you doing?
I was doing okay.
Yeah. You got a minute? This good?
He's busy. I'll tell you, he's busy.
He's not busy.
Good. Yeah, sure.
I got a burger for you.
Okay.
I've been slaving all morning.
I've noticed that. I wondered what it's
slaving.
All about out there.
That should have been my line.
You're bad, man. You dog! You made me a burger and you come and you lay it on me.
Oh, gosh!
Give me the burger.
Okay. It's clean, really. I licked them all anyway before I started cooking. Right, it's a deal.
Every time you cook, you lick them, so it's fine.
That's pretty good. Isn't
it? Yeah, it is. It's really good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It is good. I cook a good burger.
It's kind of like head and shoulders above your character weight.
Yeah.
So it's the quality of the burger.
See why I dropped it?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So what's your point?
Well, I mean, everybody's been smelling smoke all morning. We've been looking at hamburgers. Wouldn't y'all like one? Well, you got to come to the Super Bowl party. That's where we're having them. We're going to cook them for you.
Super Bowl party.
Yeah.
You going to put them on the ground?
No.
I hope not. So you got to be a
Super Bowl. Come.
5:30.
You got to 5:30. Need everybody to bring a side item.
Side. You got like Billy's phone?
What do you mean, side?
Phone. There's your side item.
Yeah, that's a side item.
Okay. What do you mean side item?
You know, baked beans, potato salad.
What's that? Oh, my shoe. Okay, thanks.
Baked beans, you know, potato salad, stuff like that.
Okay.
No. Not potato salad.
Why not potato salad?
I like
potato salad. You would?
Because
I love it.
I like potato salad.
Rick will make his potato salad.
Okay,
Rick's
that's cool.
Potato salad.
Yeah.
That's cool.
What's wrong with that?
Have you tasted it?
I don't really know.
It's all right to look at, you know, like the plastic fruit.
Yeah.
You know, but it don't taste good.
It's not that bad. It's not that bad.
Have you tasted it?
It can't be that bad. No,
it's pretty bad.
Rick's a pretty good cook.
Yeah. It's pretty bad. You know,
Rick's a great guy. He's a great guy.
He's a good cook, too.
That's great. But his potato salad is terrible.
Is it really?
No.
It's terrible. I mean, only if you eat it.
Oh, but Rick's a great guy.
Well, yeah.
His potato salad's good, too. I thought, anyway.
Come to think of it. Everything he cooks is kind of bad.
I'm sitting here. Will you open up your mouth? Open your mouth. Come on. All right. I'm just sitting here talking about the tongue, and here you go talking about. You were outside doing something. You didn't hear the first part of the message, did you?
No, I normally don't. Okay. I should probably start listening, shouldn't I?
Yeah. You should have heard. You need to stay over today.
Oh.
Yeah, I think we need to kind of do a third service for just you.
1 o'clock or
we're
something.
Talking about misuse of the tongue, and you're coming in on stage in front of all these people who are thinking, well, Wade's on the staff at that church. We're going to do what he's going to do.
Well, they ain't tasting the potato salad.
And you're going, Rick's potato salad ain't no good. Everything he cooks is bad. What kind of example are you, man?
I guess none.
Terrible. I tell you, terrible.
Give me my hamburger. Give me my hamburger back.
Terrible.
I'm going.
Say it, Billy. Terrible.
Terrible.
Terrible?
Terrible. Terrible.
Terrible.
Okay.
Terrible.
I'm terrible.
Terrible.
Terrible. You'll be all
right. Oh, would somebody please make potato salad for the Super Bowl party?
Yeah, make some potato salad. Yeah.
Please join us.
Join us for the Super Bowl party.
All right.
We would not touch the hamburgers.
Are you going to be on good behavior that night?
Oh, sure.
Terrible. Okay.
Sure.
Terrible.
Glad to hear that. I'm glad to hear that. Billy, keep him going. Keep him going, all right? All right, so the tongue's a very small body part with what? A huge impact. All right, we just ruined Rick's cooking reputation for all these people in here, didn't we? That's the point that James wanted to meet. Now look at what he says in verse 3. We can make a very large horse turn around and go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. You ever let a horse? Okay. That little bit in its mouth is going to have a lot to do with getting the horse to do what you want it to do. So that little bitty bit in relation to the huge size of the horse can do much. Your tongue, my tongue, can do much to drive the impact in other people's lives. Well, here's the third point about the relevance of the tongue. It does more than any other body part to chart your direction in life. Now, what do you mean by that, bud? Well, do you ever remember a time when you said something and it came back to haunt you. You may not have even realized that what you said at the time could have been taken wrong by somebody else. Maybe you were trying to get a job or a particular promotion in your company or another job, and somebody got wind of something you said at some time, and guess what? It made an impression. And you know what? Impressions are difficult to get rid of. Trust me. I've messed up enough impressions in my life. They're difficult to rid yourself of those. And often we say things that, you know, really, when you get down to it, have no need of being said in the first place. No need whatsoever. And yet these words that we say, these words we use, can sometimes chart our very course in life. They can chart our direction. They can cause you, they can cause your life itself to just kind of be shut down for a while. Think about your wife, your husband. Has your relationship for a period of time ever been shut down by something you said? Sure it has. You know, we don't have to do it sometimes. We don't have to do something. Just say it. If we want to mess something up, we can just say it. You know, this is really, you know, I've really not, it's funny because I'm teaching on this day because I've been a horrible example of this week in my family. Absolutely horrible, all right? And being my wife, helping me to be the teacher that I am, pointed this out to me last night. It's been one of those weeks where we had a lot going here. We had this construction stuff we had to get ready and, you know, working on that. And just I had a couple of other projects from a professional standpoint that I was working on that had deadlines of yesterday. And I was just zoned out. And I did not do a good job of communicating with my family at all this week. And you know, it was one of those things where it made a difference. Not only did it chart the direction of my life for a while, it charted the direction of their life for a while. Had a huge impact on how their lives came out this week. And so, you know, we got to understand that. Look at what he says in verse 4. A tiny rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot wants it to go, even though the winds are strong. Even though the winds are strong. Now, I can attest to that. If you've even driven a power boat, and you got some type of a prop on your boat, you probably, if you've noticed the little rudder that's very small. And that little rudder, even below the propeller, will drive the direction of your boat. And what he's saying simply is this. He says that the direction you go, even when winds are strong, even when you have a desire to do something, even when you have made a resolution to be nice, even when you've made a resolution to keep your mouth be, you know, shut, okay? We're not supposed to say around my house, that's why I hesitated for a minute. But when you said, I'm going to shut up, the temptation, although it appears very small, is really very strong. So the relevance of the tongue, it's the least controllable body part. It's a small body part with a very large impact. And finally, it does more than any other body part to chart your direction in life. Now, some of you guys, maybe you are really pumped up. Maybe you're like a Mr. America kind of person, right? Or a Mr. Burlington, anyway. And you work on that, your body, okay? Trying to get it healthy and looking good and all that. You know, even if you do that, your tongue is still more powerful. You may be able to use your hands to do incredible things that are going to make you very successful in whatever your industry might be. But your tongue still does more than that, potentially, to set your direction. Well, let's move into the risks of the tongue. What are some of the risks of the tongue that James wants to warn us about? And here's where we get into some fun stuff. And we're really going to get into some fun stuff in the next few weeks. So I want you to realize that and bring people and come back yourself. You need to go. You know, I have a problem with your tongue. So will you come to church with me this Sunday? And don't do it that way. Your tongue's the problem if you do that. But you can find a way to do that. Here's the first point about the risks of the tongue. The first one, its impact is highly disproportionate. Its impact is highly disproportionate. What does that mean? That means that what the tongue can do, the effects of the tongue, what it does is so much greater, okay, than the size of the tongue itself. You know, when you have like a little one in the house, a newborn baby, all right, the size of that baby is what? Very very tiny, very small, okay? But what happens? The impact of that baby is what? It is huge. It changes everybody's life. It is disproportionate. The baby, with regard to the impact that it has on the rest of the family, it's absolutely humongous. It's disproportionate. Well, so also the tongue is a small thing, but what enormous damage it can do. Have you experienced that? Have you experienced that? Circle two words in that verse. Small, tongue is a small thing, and then circle the word enormous. Those two words, by definition, are disproportionate. This small thing right here can destroy a relationship. It can destroy a reputation. So the impact of the tongue is highly disproportionate. Secondly, its impact spreads rapidly. It spreads rapidly. Now, this is really important. It doesn't take long for something that we say that's interesting to make the rounds. Have you noticed that? We typically refer to this flow of communication as what? Gossip. Things just, somebody's name. You ever heard that one, right? And you know what happens. You have been in situations at times, if you have been living and breathing for any amount of time as an adult, where you have said some things, all right, and you know what? It spread rapidly. It kind of like things just kind of went. Oftentimes we say things that we know. So as soon as we say them, we realize, oh, I shouldn't have said that. Sometimes we rush to correct them. Other times we just kind of let it go thinking, ooh, I don't want to make it any worse. I don't have a lot of confidence in my conflict resolution skills right now. Remember when we were kids, we would say something and what would we do? And we realized we shouldn't have said it. What could we say? I take it back. I take it back, right? And I was gullible enough, but it worked, With the innocence of a kid, it worked. Sometimes I could say I'll take it back, and I felt like I truly did take it back. And the other person who I said it to, they're gullible too as a kid. So when I say I'll take it back, they kind of think I take it back too. And we would just go ahead and play and do whatever we were doing together. We'd continue on. But I think a lot of us, what we do is we kind of brought that attitude into our adulthood. We're thinking, well, if I do say something, I can fix it. I can take it back. But I believe you realize by now that that is a false assumption about the human life. The adult life is one that is not very sympathetic and tolerant necessarily of things that should never have been said to us in the first place. So we got to be really, really, really careful about that. So we know that the impact spreads very rapidly. Let's take a look at what he said at the end of chapter five, verse 5. He says, A tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. A tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. Now, this was very important in James's day because whenever a forest fire occurred, guess what? It was history. It was all she wrote. They didn't have local fire departments with the trucks coming out and everything. And pretty much, this picture, you got to understand, as James is writing this, he's talking about complete destruction. Complete destruction. This is when something begins and when something happens, when something is said, by the time it gets stopped, in which it probably can't, something is going to burn. Something's going to burn. You've been burned, and we've also burned other people because of situations just like this. Well, we've kind of also experienced times probably where we have said something, and it'll get back to us. This happens to me all the time because I talk so much. And something I'll say will be told, will be heard, will be told, will be heard, will be told. And by the time it gets back to me, somebody's left the church because of something I said. And I'm thinking, oh, what did I say? What did I say? I didn't mean that. I mean, why? Because, here's the thing, we as adults. Here's how we are. All right, this is how we are as adults. As adults, many of us find one of our great sources of power and influence in this thing called information. Okay? The more information that I have, the more powerful I am, the more influential I am, the bigger my status. Right? All right? I don't see y'all are very, very stoic today. All right, I'm wondering why. All right? And not only is the possession of that information, all right, very status-oriented, but also we like to show that we have that status. So what do? We share that information, often in the terms of prayer requests in small groups. No, I'm just picking, just really. But you got to, you know, I'm not trying to gossip, but we need to pray for da-da-da-da-da. That happens in Sunday school classes around the world. Believe me, it does. And when somebody says, I'm not gossiping, but, you know what they're doing? Thank you. All right. All right. So, we got to be real careful about that. Because the impact of something said spreads very rapidly. Much more rapidly than you and I can react to control the situation. All right, that's James's point. Okay, here's the next thing about the risk of the tongue. The tongue's effect reveals one's true character. It reveals one's true character. Sometimes we'll say something, we'll realize, oh, I really messed up. And that's when we think, you know, well, have you ever done this? You realize you've messed up and you say, well, all I said was... How many of you said that in the last week or some derivative of that phrase? All I'm saying, dot, 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 fill in the blanks. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying, right? All I'm saying is, you know what I'm saying, right? I hear that around my house all the time. You know what I'm saying. All I'm saying, I've obviously offended you. You don't like something I just said. But all I'm saying or all I said was, sometimes we try to do that as a face-saving way to get out of the situation. We try to fix it. Now, it's a commendable thing to fix it, to try to fix it. But sometimes the best way to say it is just to fix it, just simply say, you know, I shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry. I take it back. Yeah, yeah. And hope the other person's gullible enough to let you have it back, right? But a lot of times I take it back. You just got to say, I'm sorry. You know, I shouldn't have said that. That was just, I was being a dipwad or something. You know, whatever your choice of, you know, without using bad words, really bad words that you want to use. He says in verse 6, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is full of wickedness that can ruin your whole life. Now, you and I both know people, and maybe some of us are people, whose lives at some point in time have indeed been totally ruined for a while because of our words, because of things that we say. Well, verses 7 and 8. People can tame all kinds of animals and birds and reptiles and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is an uncontrollable evil full of deadly poison. Now, James obviously sounds like a guy who has been gossiped about at some point in time. All right? Or maybe he was a guy being a straightforward kind of dude that he is. Maybe he's the kind of guy that said some things with some bluntness. And maybe he should have been a little bit more careful about what he said. Or maybe he was one of those guys being straightforward who has his, I'm just going to say what I think. I'm going to be blunt. I'm just going to tell it like it is. Well, sometimes that's genuine and sometimes it's a cover for being a jerk. It really is. And you got to really have some discernment to figure out the difference. It's a real issue you got to deal with. Well, so here's the fourth thing that we're going to, I think it's the fourth thing, yeah, about the risk of the tongue. The tongue's volatility is incredibly high. What is volatility? Volatility basically is the characteristic of something or someone who's subject to highs and lows, to quick change and significant change. We think of people as being volatile when one minute they're all happy-go-lucky and everything, and then the next minute they're just kind of like cougars wanting to come at you, you know? And so volatility, you know, anybody, I'm volatile in areas of my life. There are areas that I have volatility in my life, particularly professionally as I'm doing my job, for example. But look at what he says about the volatility of the tongue. James says, sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it breaks out into curses against those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this can't be right. You see, you catch what he's saying here? He's saying, how can we talk out of both sides of our mouth? How can we, one minute, or let me just give you an example. Okay, from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Sunday, I've got a moratorium on my mouth, okay? When 6 p.m. comes tonight, though, it's on, you know? And getting ready for the work week, where I'm going to go, you know, all this juicy gossip kind of stuff going around in the office and that kind of thing. You know, I'm going to open up to it and going to totally change. Now, I know that's not you. That's an exaggerated picture. I hope it's not you. But, you know, that's kind of what he's talking about. At one point, we'll be here on Sunday morning talking about how we praise the Lord and da-da-da, or we're shaking everybody's hand and everything, we're cheery and da-da-da. And then when we go out of here, the example would be we just kind of go to just tearing folks down. And our tongue becomes a weapon. You see, there's a big difference between a blessing and a curse. These two things are polar opposites. And you know what? James is right. Our mouths, the same mouths, are capable of doing both. Now, here's a couple of things we've got to understand. Not only sometimes is the problem with what we do say, the problem may be with what we don't say. Now here, many of us, we say things we shouldn't say, and those kind of fall into the category of sins of commission, all right? I got to tell somebody something I shouldn't say, something just ugly, something I wish I could take back maybe, all right? I shouldn't say it, all right? Like Tammy said, I'm going to go get a body wave next week. I said, okay, is your hair going to stink for a few days? You know, that's probably the nicest thing. At least I spoke to her, you know, after this past week, you know. I was listening. Thank you, Pat. You know, and so yeah, I shouldn't have said that. That was kind of stupid. And then other times, we don't say things that we should say. You see, just as a negative word has an opportunity to set a forest on fire and to tear people down and destroy their lives, guess what? A good word has the similar power to do what? To encourage and build up. All right? Now, we'll be talking about that some. I'm kind of sticking on the negative side today because really, that's really the message that James wants us to get a hold of. He wants to get our attention, I think, by helping us understand the negative effects because, you know what? That's really where in human nature, a lot of us, we just tend to gravitate toward the negative. Don't believe me? Watch the news, if you can stand it. Okay? How long have you got to wait in a news story before you hear some good news in a news program? Maybe at the very end, all right? You know, that's the way we've become accustomed. We read the headlines in the newspaper that reek of negativity. Oh, we'll read about some priest, you know, somewhere getting defrocked because of some type of scandal, you know, before we'll read about, you know, if we can find a story on some missionary in India, for example, who's doing some great things over there, feeding thousands. So you know what? James is trying to get our attention because you know what? In 2,000 years, guess what? Human nature has not changed. It's not changed. And I want to call your attention to one more thing in this verse that James brings up. He says, one point we praise our Lord and Father. Sometimes we will then curse those who have been made in the image of God. Now, why does he use that language? Why does he use that language? A number of the biblical writers will use this phrase, refer to individuals being made in the image of God. Why does he do that? Because what he's wanting us to understand is that when I say something really ugly about Walter, my friend, all right, that I'm really saying something ugly about who? About God himself. Now, there is not much to say ugly about Walter. That's why I chose him. All right, he's kind of the perfect human being. It's the kind of guy that just makes you want to puke. All right, he's so perfect. You know, you just want to slap him sometimes, but he's bigger than me, so I don't do that. But you know, if I were to say something negative about my friend, you know what? I'd be saying something negative about God. That's like God coming to bat for him. Hey, when you say something about Walter, you say something about me, big boy. You got to take me on. And I don't think we want that challenge, do we? That's not a challenge that we would want to take on. So James wants us to understand that. Well, finally, the remedy for the tongue. And this is where we're going to take off for the next few messages. The remedy of the tongue. The remedy of the tongue is available only through Christ. Only through Jesus Christ. Now, the bad news is the tongue is the least controllable part of our body. There's really nothing that you and I can do with it on our own. It's still going to do what it wants to do, even when I try to stop it from doing what it wants to do, okay? But the good news is I can control it through Christ. I don't have to do this, all right? One of the things that we do with our kids is did you brush your tongue? You know, when they brush their teeth, you know, did you brush your tongue? You do that? They need to brush their tongue, by the way. But it's also you can use that kind of as a symbolic act to say, hey, you know, you got to make sure your tongue's clean, not just your teeth, but your tongue. Well, James says, as he moves to the end of this passage, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and good deeds. It shows no partiality and is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of goodness. That's the answer. Now here's the point. The wisdom is found where? It's in heaven. God gives us the wisdom to know how to do what? To use the tongue. We're never going to control it. We're never going to control it. But we can modify it. We can modify it. When a basketball coach they're setting a strategy for the opposition. The opposition has one player that really makes everybody go. One player that really makes everybody go. What happens? That coach will usually design a strategy not to completely shut them down, but to control that one player. To try to bottle them up a little bit so that they can't make the rest of the team better. That way his team, her team, has a better shot at winning. That's the strategy that we need to have with the tongue. While we can't stop it, we need to figure out what God's Word tells us to do in order to control it so that it doesn't contaminate the rest of us and those around us. Now, what do we do with this? What do we do with this? Well, I hope you come back and hear the rest of the series, because we're going to go into talking about three distinct situations, attitudes, conditions in life that lead to the way we use our tongues in negative ways. And we're going to look at how God's Word talks about the remedy on that. But here's what I want to ask you to do today, just very simply. And I want you to mark it on your connection card if you're willing to do this. I'm going to ask you, you know, sometimes say, well, will you be willing to rededicate your life to God? Okay? I'm going to ask you today to be willing to rededicate your tongue today. So we're going to play music and you're going to come up here and lay your tongue out on the altar, right? You know. Just joking, all right? But I'm going to ask you in a spiritual sense, if you would be willing to say, not a physical sense, but in a spiritual sense, God, for the next 4 weeks, I rededicate my tongue to you. I dedicate myself that my tongue will be used to live in accordance with what James 3 says. And as I learn new stuff about what your Word says each week, I'm going to commit that I'm going to begin adopting those principles. I'm going to consciously live that out with no exceptions. You know, I believe that's what God wants us to do. I really do. And I believe that if we can do that for 4 weeks, we can focus on 4 weeks. You know what can happen in 4 weeks? New habits. New ways of doing things. You know, you do this for 4 weeks and, you know, your spouse is really happy. 6 weeks from now, you slip up. You know what your spouse is going to say? Hey, you did it for 4 weeks. Why can't you keep on doing it? Legitimate question, right? Absolutely legitimate question. So I'm going to ask as we pray, if you are willing to do that, I'm just going to ask you to simply check on your card where it says, I'm accepting God's challenge today. That's all I'm going to ask you to do today. And our prayer team will pray for us. Are you willing to take the 4-week challenge as we go through this series about the tongue? Rededicating our tongues. You see, sometimes I think we talk about rededicating our lives, and that's so big. Well, where do I start? You know, when we talk about the tongue, we already know it's a small body part, right? So at least we know we can start there. So let's go to God in prayer. I want to ask you to see if you'd be willing to accept that challenge. Father, thank you for this teaching on the tongue. Indeed, it is an uncontrollable body part, one that truly needs to be harnessed by you. Thank you, God, that you are the wisdom that we need to do just that. So God, help us to lean into that wisdom, to live into it, and to love into it. And God, as we take the words of James today, may we make a new commitment to rededicate our lives, not only our lives, but today our tongues, specifically our tongues to you for the next 4 weeks. And God, may we make that a real positive 4 weeks, saying the right things and also knowing when not to speak. God, give us wisdom. Hear the prayers of your people now as we lift them up to you, as we rededicate our tongues to you and the words we use. Father, thank you for the way that you care about every part of our bodies, every facet of our lives, every aspect of our lives. God, make us more and more like you, because we are made in your image. For it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Thanks for being here today. A couple of things to tell you about. All right, our teenagers, all right, if you got a kid going on a ski trip, today's the deadline to complete your payment. So see Steve and company up there. Super Bowl party next Sunday, 5:30. Don't forget, walk through the Bible Tuesday night, and we will see you real soon. Don't forget to drop your Integrity Connection cards along with your offering. Please don't forget that in the boxes as you leave. And also, Connect class next Sunday. If you've not joined with our church, you'd like to consider doing that. Right after second service, this time next week, join us for lunch in the conference center. God bless. Bye-bye. Have a great day. By the way, at the back table back there, we're Sharon Yao and Shannon Kimball are waving their arms. You can go purchase your tickets for the 10th anniversary celebration. Please go ahead and do that. Today was the last day for general giveaways for those tickets. So if you're thinking, well, I'll wait and see if I win one, let me tell you, you won't. So go ahead and buy them. Have a great day and a great week. Bye-bye.